Jude chapter 1. We want to stand and read the first four verses of the book of Jude this morning. Only one chapter. Chapter 1, verse number 1 through verse number 4. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, give us wisdom this morning as we unfold the Word of God. Lord, we know we need the Spirit of God to drive home the thoughts from the Word. And I pray, dear God, that You give us wisdom from above. Not earthly wisdom, which is sensual, but God, heavenly wisdom that's from above and from the Father of lights. And I ask God this morning that You give us strength and encouragement. And Lord, the strength to stand and the power of God. May we preach as we wish we had when we stand before the judgment bar. If there's one under our sound of our voice today that's lost and don't know You or out of the will of God, I pray You'd touch their heart and finger around their soul. Lord, if there's one today here that's despondent, discouraged, Lord, almost ready to give up or quit, I pray God You'd challenge their heart as well. We'll give You the praise for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude, the four books right before the book of Revelation, are books that kind of help us and teach us about apostasy. Apostasy is that which some have held to the truths and then turned around and went in the other direction from. And we're living in apostasy. When we get to the book of Jude, we find that there's two things in the comparison. One is fundamentalism, and the other is apostasy. One is holding to the truth, and the other is pulling away from the truth, if you will, in plainer terms. So we study the book of Jude, we'll see that. We find some people in the book of Jude that stayed true and held to the things of God. We also find some that turned from what they had. And they turned unto lasciviousness, and it even mentions here that they're doing it, which is putting the Word of God in an immoral face or in a lustful way. And so looking to this morning, I want us to notice some things about it. We are in an evil hour. Amen. No question about it. We're in a dark day. No question about that. We're in a day that's spiritually dark. We're in a day of the apostates, those who have turned. Now, I want to tell you this, that our pulpits are in trouble in America. Our pews are in problem or have problems in America. And because of the pulpit and the pew, the world is headed to hell as fast as it can. Brother, until we get the pulpit and the pew right, it's not going to get turned. Now, on Wednesday night, we preached about, and they came unto Him from every quarter. And I said, if we can keep Jesus in the midst of the house of God, and we can get Him in here, we can fill these pews. Now, we can run any kind of ads and all kinds of things, but we can't fill this church until we get something here that's going to welcome them to be at the house of God. And I'm not talking about some kind of activities. I'm talking about if we can get Jesus in this church and in your life, and when you go out full of Jesus, I'll guarantee you it'll get noised abroad that Christ is here and people will come. But I want to give you some other things this morning that I believe will help us in looking at this. And by way of introduction, as we get into this book of Jude, I'm by no means going to get very far into this book. Amen. This thing's bigger than I begin to realize when we look at the Word of God. But I want to give you some things, especially three things, that will change the world from this pew, from these pews. I want to give you three things that will change the world from these pews. Amen. Turn with me first of all to the book of Genesis. I want to turn to the book of Genesis. And we're going to have a little Bible study in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, how many knows that that's the first book of the Bible? Amen. I thought so. You older folks may be in trouble, then raise your hand because some of the kids know where it's at. Amen. Genesis chapter number 1. I want us to look at it together. You ought to be able to quote it, if you will, these verses that I'm going to talk about this morning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I hear people say, in the beginning, God created the heavens. And how many has heard them say that? No doubt you've probably done it too. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That time there was no such thing but one heaven. We know today there's three. We got the atmosphere above us, and then where the stars are, and then the third heaven according to the Word of God, where God is. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was nothing there. And God created the heaven, amen, and the earth. There's two things, heaven and earth. Now look at what it said in verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we're talking about the first day of creation. Let me point out some things here. And this is going to go back to what I'm talking about. I want to give you three things that will move the world from these pews. Three things that will move the world from these pews. You'll find it right here in the Scripture that I read. Did you see that conjunction word, and? You'll find it in verse number 2. And, it's and twice, and then third time, it's in that verse. And then you'll find that word and in the next one twice, verse 3. And goes on. And it means God just continues on and on. It's in conjunction, and they're hooked together, and God does His work that way. And that's what God does through the church. Now understand this with me. The first thing we find that God did, the Bible said in verse number 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the first thing we find is the Spirit of God. Amen. The first thing we've got to have to change the world from these pews is the Spirit of the living God. Are you right? You understand where I'm at? Do you understand what I'm saying? The first thing we've got to have if we're going to change this world and turn it upside down and bring people to Christ and fill these pews and get the work done in our church, it's going to take the Spirit of the living God. The second thing in verse number 3, the Bible said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The second thing we've got to have is the Word of God. Amen. The first thing is the Spirit. The second thing is the Word of God. In verse number 2, we find the Spirit moving. In verse number 3, we find the Word speaking. Brother, how does He speak today? Through the preaching of the unadulterated Word of God. And brother, so He takes the Spirit, and then He takes the Word. And in verse number 4, we find the third ingredient. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. There's got to be a separation. There's got to be a division. Amen. We've got to have number 1, the Spirit of God. We've got to have number 2, the Word of God. And number 3, we've got to have a separation. Now what did God separate? In verse number 5, the Bible said He took the light and He made day. He called it day. And He took the darkness and He called it night. What did God separate? He separated the light from the darkness. There's got to be a separation. Amen. Now it won't work. Nothing happened until God did that. Well, the Spirit of God moved, the Word of God spoke, and we find that the light separated from darkness. Amen. There was a separation. Now get this thought in mind this morning. And get it with you. That, by the way, There was no sun brought out. God didn't bring the moon out. This is before the sun was made. This is before the moon was made. The sun and the moon did not appear till the fourth day. Read your Bible. Amen. So what you talking about? We see a spiritual moving of the Spirit of God, a spiritual leading of the Word of God, and a spiritual dividing of God's hand. Amen. So we find this is spiritual. It wasn't until the fourth day, and when God brought in the physical light and put the sun in the sky for daytime and the moon in the sky at night for nighttime. And brother, it was night, but there was light. The Bible teaches us that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. Now, if we're going to move this world, how many wants to move the world? I'd like to see people get saved. You said, preacher, I hope they get saved. Hey, you ought to be praying and seeking the face of God that they do get saved. Now, how are we going to turn this world upside down? How are we going to leave our communities unto Christ? How are we going to lead them to the Lord? How are we going to bring them to Christ? How are we going to get them saved and birthed in the family of God that they can feel the new life that God can give them? How are we going to do that? Brother, three ways. By three things. Number one, the Spirit of God. We have that. Secondly, the Word of God. We got that. Now, to be able to have the world turned upside down, we've got to take the Spirit of God and the Word of God and put them together that they begin to divide and separate. And when it does, and makes things brand new and brings it out to the light. So I'm trying to tell you, salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord only. Now, let me give you something that's misquoted. Hold your plate. Well, let's just turn to John. Amen. Thank God. I'll tell you what, I've been excited about getting here to preach. I love preaching. Amen. I love preaching. I don't know whether you know it or not, but I love it. I get excited about preaching. Amen. That's my life. I'm just excited. Look at John chapter 3 and one of the most favorite verses in the Bible. We call it the gospel in a nutshell. What do you think, Bert, what verse it is? Verse 16. Now, John chapter 3 and 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we shout and we praise God over it, and we should. Verse 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now you can't get saved but outside Jesus Christ. And you cannot get saved until you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ until the Spirit of God moves upon your heart. We've established that now from Genesis 1. Now, most folks leave John 3 and 16 and 17 and stop right there. But let's read on. Here's what God says. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now read verse 19. "And this is the condemnation." Notice this. "That light is come into the world." You see that? That light is come into the world. Where did we find that? Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Alright? "And men love darkness." Why? "Rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now the Bible said, verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now what's God saying? He said, hey, once you get birthed in the family of God, you change and you divide and you separate from a darkness and you come into the light. The Bible said over there in 1 John, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to tell you this morning, brother, it's the light. I'm glad one day the light shined and I saw Him. Thank God, called upon Him. He moved into my heart, and when He turned on the light in my soul, the darkness of this world moved out. And when the darkness of the world moved out, God took over and brother began to shine through me. And brother, let me tell you now, God can take the church, and the church is made up of unbelievers who have been saved by the grace of God, who have been birthed in the family of God, who have come from light, from darkness into the light. And brother, now God can take us on these people Jews this morning, and by the Spirit of God and the Word of God that hath birthed us into the family, and now He can take us who has been separated from the darkness and brought us into light, and He let us shine the light in a dark world. What did I say the world was a while ago? A dark place. It's full of apostates. It's full of apostasy. Now God can take us and turn this world upside down. Now why ain't the world getting turned upside down? Because we're missing the mark somewhere. We've got the Word, we've got the Spirit, but we don't have the separation. There's three things, and I want you to know, brother, it's very important in the life of every Christian. And brother, we don't pay attention to it. That's why this world's taken over. That's why the apostates are taking charge. That's why today people are taking off the Ten Commandments off the walls. That's why they won't let you pray in the public. That's why they won't let your kids read the Bible in the public. That's why this world's turned upside down. And these low priests and these preachers can't say anything about Jesus in the military. I'm telling you this morning, brother, that's why. Why, preacher? Because of one thing we're missing. We've got the Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God. But we don't have the separation. Now, believer, child of God, Christian, it's important that you be separated. You said, from the world? Well, I'm going to put it like God put it. He says we need to separate from darkness and come into the light. He does also say to us in the Word of God, come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God said, I'll be with you. God said, I'll guide you. I'll lead you. Now, what's happened? Oh, we're hiding in the shadows. Amen. Our pulpits are in trouble. Amen. They certainly are. We're having problems everywhere because of the darkness. Now, let's just look at something. I believe we've got too many sissies in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. They've been wearing gowns so long they think they're sissies. Amen. I never have pastored a church that had robe choirs. Don't think I'm going to start it now. I went to a church one day, and this fella, he's dressed up. He looked like his mama was in a way she'd look in a house coat. Said it was a different color. He had a big old cross around his neck. He was a Methodist, and we come walking in. And I said, this first time I'd ever preached in a Methodist church, walked down the aisle, he got that cross, and he bowed down on. I got down on my knees and looked, and he'd done gone. He just skipped down and went up. I thought he was going to pray. I thought, I ain't never seen a Methodist do this. And I thought, but I didn't get to pray. I don't know what he done, but he tipped down and went on up in choir. And hey, I want to tell you this morning. Brother, we got too many sissies that are wading and tiptoeing through the field, squirting little rose water, patting feet, the people on the back and telling how they are kind of soft peddling the gospel, fence straddling, won't take a stand on anything. They're kind of cream pie puffers, you know. They won't do anything. They just straddle the road. They won't tell you the truth. They're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I wish you'd catch on to some of that. Forget it. I'm too old. Why would I want to sit down and try to plan out a sermon for you? Amen. You don't pay my salary. You said, preacher, you draw a salary. And listen, God in heaven takes care of me. Amen. Go back in the records of this church, I guarantee you, I didn't put no resume in when I came here. Amen. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. In other words, I didn't come up here trying to apply for a job. Amen. I heard yesterday where there's a church not far from here, Independent Baptist Church, and this is a shame, and people won't agree with me. I don't care whether they do or not, but they say this. Said, well, so-and-so, you'd suggest one. They said, well, they ain't put in no resume. Since when does the Bible talk about giving resumes? Now, I know a lot of people do. I've never given a resume to any church. And I don't intend to in the future. Amen. You know why? I hadn't been in the business trying to apply for a job. 42 years I've been pastoring. Brother, listen, God's put me in every one of them. I'll stay there till He takes me out of them. Amen. Somebody said, I wish He'd go ahead and take you out. Amen. The only way I hope if He takes me out is on to glory. Amen. And you'll be the first one I'll be trying to outrun. Amen. Maybe you'll catch that on a slow boat to China. But listen to me. Oh, they said, I ain't got no resume. I ain't never put in a resume to get a church. Listen, where in the world? Can you see the Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm going to send a resume to Ephesus because I want to come over there and preach to you. I'm going to send a resume to Philippi because I'm thinking about coming over and staying with you for a few days. We've got away from the Word of God. You know what we're trying to do? When a church recommends and has to have a resume, they're looking for somebody they can hire and get tired of him, they're going to fire him. Amen. And brother, this is not a hiring and firing thing. And you folks get to where you don't like me and won't want me, just let me know. Praise God. We'll just let God take care of it. Either move me or you won. And I think it's cheaper for you to move. Amen. Oh, a lot easier on me. Are you with me? He said, I don't like a smart act. I'm not trying to be a smart act. I'm just trying to tell you what's happened in our day is we're missing the mark, and it starts from the pulpit. It goes to the pew and it shows up in the world. Now let me just give you some things about fundamentalism. First of all, jot these things down. Fundamentalism. And the fundamentalist, you said, preacher, are you a fundamentalist? Yeah, some of us are fundamentalists and the rest of us are fundamentally. What ain't fundamentalist is fundamentally. What's a fundamentalist, preacher? A fundamentalist is somebody who believes and starts off and is built on the right foundation. Old fellow was talking to me yesterday, and he was of the holiness faith, and he was talking about, he said, there's five things, and everybody's overlooking them. And he said, someone think it's just three. And he said, you know, said there's the pastors, and there's the teachers, and there's the evangelists. But he said they're forgetting about the prophets and the apostles. And he said some of them say there ain't no such thing as prophets and apostles in the New Testament, and that's done. But he said, I can't find nowhere in the world where Jesus ever done away with them. And I'm listening, you know. And I'm saying, well, now that's what he's been taught. That's what he thinks. I'll just let him talk a minute. And he didn't disturb me. I didn't get used to. I jumped up and said, bless God, let me tell you that man. He got through and I let him talk and I looked over at him and I said, well, let me just ask you a question. He said, yes, sir. I said, let me ask you. I said, who's the greatest of all prophets? He said, Jesus, of course. I said, yeah, he's the greatest of all kings and the greatest of all priests, don't you say? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, where's the priest? He said, he's our high priest. I said, what's he doing? I said, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I said, he's doing the priest's job. I said, well, where's the priest at on the earth? He said, okay. Didn't say nothing. He couldn't say nothing. I said, all right, Jesus is the greatest of all prophets. Where's the prophets at today? And he changed the subject on me. We missed it. Didn't get no further. That's all I said. And we kept on talking a little bit more, and we got to enjoying it. He got to say some things, and he gave me some pretty good little ideas about some things. I said, hey, you're right. And guess what? His wife come rolling that buggy up. He said, there's my wife. I got to go. And I looked up at her, and I said, I, of course, I'd never seen her before in my life. He lived in Gainesville. And I said to her, I said, you just messed up a good meeting. I said, he is preaching, and I was a preaching. We was having a good time. She said, I figured that. Amen. And she went on the way. He went on his way, shook his hand. But let me tell you something, folks. What we're doing is we're getting our own ideas about what the Word of God says. I believe the day of the prophet's gone. I believe the day of the apostles gone. I believe Paul was the last of the apostles, as we know the apostles. Now that we've got disciples of Christ, but we don't have the original 12 that was there. And we've got people that's been taught and people that's been sent. In that sense, you can call us disciples and apostles. But I'm telling you, the word and term is not a New Testament term after Paul. We're in a different day. But what God does want us to do is to have the Spirit of God and the Word of God to be built on the right foundation. And that's what I was getting at a while ago. I looked at him and I said, well, you know, the church. And he began to talk to me. And he said, you know, I was thinking about Matthew over there, where he said, when he asked Peter, said, "Who do men say that I am?" And I'm just listening. And he said, Peter said, "You're Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And of course, that's what he was referring to. And he said, "I used to think," and said, "I believe that what it was is the revelation. The church is built on the revelation." And some people said it's built upon Peter. And I'm sitting there listening. He said, "But it's not Peter." I said, "You're right." But he said, "I believe it's upon that knowledge of what it." I said, "I believe it's on Jesus." I said, "What is the foundation of the church? No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 3:10. Ladies and gentlemen, a fundamentalist is somebody that's built on the right foundation. I'm going to have to get rid of this watch. It beeps every hour, and it just told me it's 12. And I don't like it. Well, I can't figure out how to get the beep off. Hear me? So in case you think I'm running over time already, I just told you. Amen. But a fundamentalist is somebody that stands on the right foundation. So a fundamentalist is somebody who not only stands and builds on the right foundation, but that fundamentalist will stand constantly on that foundation, and a fundamentalist will fight the good fight of faith for that foundation. Preacher, I don't believe we ought to fight. You don't? Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith." Paul told Timothy, "Endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure the hardness." We're to endure. Ephesians said, "Hey, put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Paul said, "We've got a battle to fight." The old woman came into the church and visited the pastor one day in a good strong church, and the preacher was up, and he was talking about how standing against this and fighting that. And the little lady, she went out and she said, "You know," said, "I've been wanting to visit over here for a while, and I come over here and I found out, hey, you just talked about fighting this and fighting that." She said, "I go down to the church down here, we don't fight nothing." She said, "It's peaceful down there." She said, "Yes." He said, "Yes, ma'am. You can go down to the graveyard. It's peaceful in the graveyard." Amen. But God's people have to fight. Have to fight the good fight of faith. I believe that. Amen. God didn't call the preacher to be an organizer. Didn't call him to be a manager. Didn't call him to be a promoter. But He called him to be a preacher. And we need the fire in the pulpit. And if we don't have the fire in the pulpit, we won't have no fire on the pew. And if we ain't got no fire in the pulpit and fire on the pew, brother, we're not going to get the world stirred up until we get on fire. How are we going to get on fire? Get separated. I can just see right now, I just got the foundation laid, and it's time to go. But listen, we need this morning to be separated from sin. Any appearance of sin, we ought to leave it alone. If it's wrong, we ought to leave it alone. We don't need the devil's gimmicks, or we don't need the world's methods to build a church. We just need a Bible in our hand and a praying knee and a praying foot, amen, and faith in the Son of God, and we can go out and turn the world upside down. And you'll do that by what they see you do, what they hear you say, and how they see you live. You know, most churches, and I want to say this morning, very clearly, most churches expect the pastor to have a pretty high standard. Matter of fact, they want him to have as much a standard as he can have, to be without spot, without blemish. They want the preacher to be exemplary. Yeah, they want him to be a real example. You wouldn't want a preacher playing cards and cussing like a sailor all week long and living worldly and then try to preach to you on Sunday morning. If you do, you've got some kind of spiritual problem. But you want your preacher to be at the place, and you can't find them. They're not there. There's nobody perfect but Jesus. And you can't find a perfect preacher, but you want one as near perfect as you can find. And you want his standards to be high. And you don't have no problem with the preacher's standards high as long as he don't push them standards over to the pew. But that's when it gets tough. When God's man starts putting the standard over to the pew, then he gets going against the grain. Now some of you folks that do woodwork, you know what it is to cut against grain. You ever cut a board with the grain? It don't cut good. You cut it against the grain, guess what happens? Falls right off, don't it? It's the way you cut it. You just go up it. Hey, we want it smooth sailing. We don't want the preacher to get rough. We don't want him to get disturbed. But God's got to build a fire on the preacher. And then when he builds a fire on the preacher, he builds a fire on the pew. It's just the way it works. So if you want a preacher that preaches, you might as well expect the fireballs to drop off his shoulders somewhere and land where you're sitting every once in a while. At least some sparks. I believe I'm seeing some that ain't got no sparks about. And some of them ain't nothing but smoke. You don't want a smoldering preacher in the pulpit. Start to say a smoking preacher, but they probably got a lot of them some places. But you don't want a smoldering preacher. Amen. I mean, praise God. You want one to throw something out at you every once in a while. Amen. You want something to happen. You want some movement in the pulpit. And then God moves you. And guess what you do when you get moved? Somebody go out to dinner at one and say, well, did you go to church today? Yeah. What did you? How was the church service? Oh, it's all right. Pretty good. Pretty good. If that's all you'd say when you leave this church today, I messed up. But when you go out and somebody says, how was the service? Oh, it's good service. Boy, that preacher preached. He moved. I tell you right now, he stirred me. If I can't stir you, you're not going to get stirred in the world either. You see what I'm talking about? I'm just going to have to quit on this fundamentalism. But we got too many in our pulpits just kind of patting folks on the back. You said, well, Jesus, that's what he did. He did. One day he went down to the church house and he got up to hold one of the tables and he picked it up and threw it over. And he cast out the money changers, got him a little whip and run them right out of the church house. You said Jesus done that? Sure he did. He said, I don't want you making my house a house of merchandise. This is a house of prayer. Basically what he told them. Amen. Stirred them up. Got them to move in. He said to old Herod, he said, go tell that fox. He didn't get down on the hypocrite. He didn't say, oh, ye generation of lovely snakes. He didn't say, you bunch of delightful serpents. You bunch of beautiful sepulchers. He said, you're whited sepulchers. You're painted on the outside to look good, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Stirred them up. And where Jesus went, he saved them or stirred them. Amen. What we need in this church is the Spirit of God moving, the Word of God speaking, and the people of God separating and selling themselves out to God. Amen. What do you need? You need to turn your life over to the Lord as a Christian and do what this little lady sung this morning. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. That's where we need to be this morning. The rest of my days, you know what I want to do? I want to serve God. I want to get closer to Him. Somebody told me this week, said, sometimes you look like you're out of the world. I didn't want to say much. Sometimes I feel like I'm out of the world. I'm a misfit here. But thank God I got a better place to go. And I get to thinking about where I am headed. And this world's leaving, it's leaving a bad taste in my mouth all the time. I'm getting more excited about my home going than I've ever gotten in my life. I'm just one step between me and the Creator. I'm only one heartbeat away from getting in His presence. This may be my last message. This may be my last day. You know what? The last sermon I preach, and somewhere I'll preach my last sermon, but I hope the last sermon I preach is 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times hotter than the first one I preach. I hope the devil gets stung and bit and burnt while I'm leaving. Amen. Stand for the fundamentals of faith. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We can take these three things and turn this world upside down for Jesus. Now, we've got the Spirit. We've got the Word. You know what's missing this morning in our churches? Separated saints. You said, just as long as I'm saved, I'm all right. Saved so as by fire. As long as I make it in, I'm fine. That's not good enough. Not good enough. I want everything to be right in my heart and life. I mess up so bad. I walk so contrary many times. But I want God to take this little chunk of flesh. I want Him to make me what He wants me to be. I want Him to speak through me and walk through me and talk through me and demonstrate the grace of God through me. I want to help people. I want to see people saved. I want to see them birthed in the family of God. I don't know anybody I want to go to hell. I want everybody to be birthed in the family of God. I love them. You said you don't know them. I know them through Christ. I want to love them like Jesus loves them. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing. And I pray that you search your heart. 354 Blue Book. How about it? The altar's open. God's spoken. Would you come? How about it? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm glad God put me in the work of God, but I want to do my part. I want to live a life that's pleasing in the sight of God. Not necessarily what everybody else thinks and likes, but what God wants.